The content shared on Your Life, Your Wealth Network reflects the views of the host and guests of the program only and are not necessarily the views of Cordasco Financial Network or its advisors. This media production is educational in nature and should not be construed as financial, legal, or tax advice or a solicitation or presentation of sale of any financial products or services. Please consult a professional prior to making any financial, tax, or legal decision.
Welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth Network, helping you find clarity and comfort for your life and wealth.
Hey, welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth podcast. I'm John Walker, Regional Vice President at Mercer Advisors. Thrilled to be back with you again this week and really excited for the conversation we're going to have today. If you're a longtime listener to the program, you've heard us probably countless times talk about having a meaningful retirement, right? And the way we approach this from a planning perspective is in the title of the show, right? It's all about your life and your wealth and where they intersect, right? And in our industry, and I've said this countless times, we always get asked by people like, what's my number? Or, how much do I need? And we always tell people, well, it depends. There is no number, and your number might be wildly different from someone else's because of what you want to accomplish or what's important or meaningful to you. So really the key to good unified financial planning, where you're really addressing everything that's important to a family, is understanding what those priorities are, right? And we've talked a lot about finding purpose in retirement. The joyful retirement comes with purpose. It's different for each individual. It may be a career change, it may be golf, it may be foundations and charity, it may be giving of yourself, it may be spending time with the grandkids, it may be countless other things. But it's critical to understand that each family, each person has the opportunity to tread a different path. And so I am thrilled to welcome in a great guest who has lived that and written some wonderful, compelling stories about what that experience has been like. So momentarily, I'm going to welcome in Janet Blazer, who's a writer who has lived in Mazatlan, Mexico since 2006. She's a former journalist in California who now focuses her work on expat living. Her first book, Why We Left, an anthology of American women expats, is an Amazon bestseller. And she's going to join me momentarily to discuss her personal story and shed some great light on what it's like to really retire abroad, a choice that many of the families that we work with consider. And I'm thrilled to welcome in Janet to tell us about her journey. Janet, welcome to the program.
Hi, John. Thanks so much for having me here.
Having had the opportunity to read a bit of what you've written, I think you made a very difficult choice, but I think you'll agree it's one that you've embraced and enjoyed tremendously. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I think that at the beginning, I didn't realize how difficult it was going to be. And there was a certain naivete that I just went forward into. And now years later, I'm grateful that I made the decisions I made because I see myself really happy and content and pretty stress-free in my life. And a lot of my friends are not.
So and I think that's key, right? I mean, you have found a retirement path that has given you less stress, right? That's a critical component. There are a lot of folks that live through retirement with continued anxiety, whether it's anxiety over money or not finding that joy that they thought that that extra free time was going to bring. So how did you get there? How did you end up, first of all, in Mexico, which a lot of folks do consider, right? Tell us a little bit about that journey, Janet.
I was in Santa Cruz, California, which is beautiful and a place a lot of people go for vacation, but it was very expensive to live there, really, really expensive. And when the internet happened, because I'm old enough to remember that, my career as a journalist, I was a features writer for a daily paper, daily newspaper. So the internet happened and the media was shaken by it, let's put it that way. And I knew that my time was limited. I wrote about food and music, which was kind of throwaway. So I started looking like, can I find another job? I was 50 and I couldn't find another job. And that was scary. And I started thinking, okay, I have to think outside the box, but I didn't know what that meant. I had no clue. I just thought, okay, the normal ways, sending out my resume, blah, blah, blah. I was getting no responses. Social media had just started, which was a brand new thing. And I knew nothing about that. And so I went to Mexico on a random vacation. Very random. In the past, when I had money to go on vacation, I always went to the Caribbean or I went to Hawaii. I had no interest in Mexico. But I was living in California. I had a lot of Mexican-American friends, and I thought, oh, let me go to Mexico. So I went to Mexico, and I went to the city, Mazatlan. And there were certain reasons I came here. I didn't know anyone who had ever been here. I didn't want to go to, like, Cancun or Cabo or Puerto Vallarta. Like, I didn't want Vegas on the beach. I wanted something smaller. And I wanted ocean I could swim in. A lot of places in Mexico, the oceans are very rough. And I wanted some kind of colonial architecture. I really liked that vibe. And I also wanted something to do besides just lay on the beach. And Mazatlan has a thriving cultural scene that's anchored by a 1,200-seat theater that was built in the 1800s. And there's music and dance and opera and plays and all kinds of things going on. So as soon as I got to the historic center, this sounds so corny, but it was like, there was just this aha connection, this moment where I felt like this is home. And that was very unexpected. I hadn't thought about living in Mexico at all. So I had that sense that I belonged here. And I spent the rest of my vacation in that part of town. And at the same time, I had another aha moment that maybe I could live here and start a business. That's what it was, because there were thousands and thousands of American tourists here coming off of cruise ships, coming to timeshare, and they didn't speak any Spanish and they didn't know what was going on. And I only knew a little bit because of my research, right? But I knew more than them. And I thought, again, this aha moment, I know how to do this. I know how to attract an audience. I know how to publish. I could do this.
And I think that's compelling, right? You saw a link between skills that you developed over years as a writer to transfer them to a different type of business that would give you the opportunity to do something completely different than maybe what you had suspected, right? We talk to a lot of people as we guide them through retirement to say, those skills you developed throughout your career, you may not use them in the same way, but they might give you the opportunity to do something else that you might really enjoy. Right. Totally. And I think that's totally kind of very much what happened for you.
Totally. It was definitely an opportunity, and I had all the skills needed to go forward with it. And like I said, I was not thinking of moving to Mexico. I did not think that was the outside the box I was going to end up in. It was not in my radar at all. But I didn't know what to do in the States. You know, it was right after the big real estate crash in California. I saw so many friends lose their homes. Rents were skyrocketing. Property values were skyrocketing for no reason. And it just seemed like a house of cards to me and not a good place to be. Anyway,
So you've made the choice and you've moved to Mexico, right? And what year did you do? You did that some time ago, right, Jenna?
2006, 2007. Yeah, it's been like 17 years, yeah.
And so you've addressed this in your writing, though. It wasn't always easy in the beginning, right?
No.
And you're pretty candid about that. And certainly, if I understand correctly, you kept working for some time, right? You were still writing, maybe doing some freelance here and there and maybe building this business. But you did ultimately choose to retire fully. And you talk frankly about how that wasn't easy in the beginning.
I ended up publishing a magazine, an English magazine, a monthly magazine for about 10 years. And then once I turned 62 and realized that I could collect Social Security, I sold the magazine and collected Social Security. And I thought, I'm free. I don't have to work anymore. I don't have, because it was a lot of
work. Liberating, right? I don't have to, yeah. I don't have deadline. I can imagine as a writer, you've got deadlines, you've got, you know, pages, you know, I got to write this many words on this topic. I may not have that interested, but I told them I'd do it, right? Things like that. So,
and selling ads and getting, you know, tracking down clients.
Hustling.
And
you were hustling.
Delivery. Yes, I was. Yeah, it was a great freedom to think I don't have to work anymore. But then after 4, 5, 6 months of feeling that freedom, and I had a big garden, I moved to a different place and thought finally I can do all these things I want to do. And then I was like afraid. I thought, is this the end of my productive life? That was the big thing. It was depressing. It was scary. I started thinking, I'm just like this old person doing nothing of value anymore. Where is my value?
Yeah, you speak about that quite candidly. And I think it's something that many early retirees share. And unfortunately, some continue to feel that throughout a lot of their retirement. And you address in one of your writings, you talk about how your circle of friends starts to shrink because all the people that you're interacting with frequently through business and socially and other things, they start to change as maybe your lifestyle changes. And even living on the beach in Mexico wasn't giving you the satisfaction that maybe you thought you would find, right?
Yes.
But the key is, Janet, you did something about it, right? And you took some steps to find a different perspective.
The other thing that happened, or that happens more when you're living outside of the country, is that you retire and you don't have that community of people you were working with. But even more so, you're creating a new community of friends and in general in another country, and it's another language. And it's more difficult because it's another language. It's more difficult because it's another culture. It's more difficult because we're older. Where I was living at that point was quite remote. And I joke now that I had 2.5 friends because the half friend was like 1.5 hours away. My children were all married and starting their own families and their own careers. And they were far away. And, I wasn't very in touch with them. And so there was a lot of reasons that I felt very alone and depressed and lost. I really lost. And of course, I thought it was just me, that I was just having these problems.
Yeah. And come to find out, you were far from alone. And you share that you reached out to a dear old friend who really helped give you some great advice once you shared that you were having that lost feeling. And I think it's really valuable advice for a lot of our listeners who might be feeling the same way. Do you mind sharing what she shared with you and what that other aha moment was, Janet?
I wrote to her saying that I was lost and floundering, and she said, she's about 10 years older than me. And she said, it makes total sense that I was feeling that. She said, it makes total sense that you're feeling that because you don't know what you're doing now. And that's exactly where you're supposed to be. How could you possibly know what you're doing now? The letter she wrote me was a long email, and there's only pieces of it in that latest CNBC article. But she went on to say that, and this applies to everybody. I mean, she used my specific life, but until we retire, until we stop working, we are all caught up in that work life, in our family, in our friends. We're so busy in the mortgage and all of those things. And all of a sudden, a lot of those pieces fall off the table and it's a big empty space. And we think that's going to be wonderful. But it's very jarring to suddenly have this empty life in front of you. It's very jarring. So she said, this is the perfect place for you to be right now. Take your time, be gentle with yourself, and you'll figure out. You'll find a path. And that's what happened.
What great advice, right? Great advice for everybody listening, no matter where you're at in the stage of life. But it's a shared story. And I think it was really telling that she shared that with you, right? That you're far from alone in the way you're feeling. You're totally valid the way you're feeling. And it's a really good illuminating lesson of, you're right. Like sometimes we're so busy that we don't have time to figure out who we want to be. And you share sort of that in your stories of, I wasn't really sure who I was supposed to be anymore, right? Or what I was supposed to do.
That's exactly what it is. And I think in our, well, in many cultures, but at least in American culture, we don't get any training. Are there books about, and I think now there are books as people are looking for the purpose-driven life and purpose, all those things. But we're not told when we're in our 30s or 40s that this is a stage down the road. It's not like you prepare. I don't think, do most people prepare themselves? I never did. It never occurred to me what would happen at this stage of life.
I think that that is a very common theme. And maybe there are some, right? And you're right. I think that as we evolve here culturally, you are seeing substantially more focus on that. And younger generations, I think, are often accused of being selfish or having their purpose wrong because they care about things that maybe previous generations didn't, right? That feel different and odd and weird, but they are much more focused on, I think, finding satisfaction and living life the way they want to, even if it's against the sort of normal cultural norms, right? And so that has certainly caused friction within American culture. There's a famous quip.
In the American workplace, yeah.
Absolutely in the American workplace, right? There's countless articles in major publications about how the challenges of hiring this generation and other things and what their expectations are for employment and everything else, right? So it's definitely becoming more prevalent, but there are countless generations that didn't have that experience growing up. And we have seen in our industry as financial planners, as helping families work through this, that there isn't a training around this. And it's a lot of the work that we do to partner with families to guide them through the emotional toll that retirement takes, because your life has been focused on living life, right? And so
on living life as you knew it.
Exactly. Not as it could be or what it could be in the future.
That you took 10, 15, 20, 30 years to put together.
Right.
Okay? You're living that life. And now at a later age, we're supposed to start all over again. It's unsettling.
Unsettling, jarring. And in many cases, there hasn't been time to say, what do you want to be when you grow up? I don't know. I'm just busy trying
Great. That's a good question.
Yeah. You know, like I'm still trying to figure it out. Right. And now you're grown up and it's like, well, I never really had time to figure it out because I was too busy paying the mortgage, writing that article, raising the kids, making sure kids were dropped off at practice or got to school on time and all the things that life consumes. Right. I'm a big music guy myself. And John Lennon's famously attributed a saying and getting in trouble in school as a child because they asked him what he wanted to be when he grew up. And he wrote happy. Right. And
you
so
I never heard that.
And so, right. And they were like, well, that's wrong because you're supposed to say doctor or lawyer or, you know, or whatever. Right. Oh, and so right. Like that lesson of like, hey, you know what? There's more to this than what maybe we're making of it. Right. And I think mm-hmm. that's the journey that you share with your readers, that it's been a few years since you felt like you were stuck in that place.
Yeah.
And your writing reveals you're much happier now. And there's a way you did it. Right. You found purpose. And I know there's financial decisions that you had to make and things you had to choose. And living overseas probably has quite a few unique challenges, right? But you sorted through that to land in a place where you got through the muck and the mire, and now you've come out the other side.
Yeah, I think that's all definitely true. And I don't want to sound like retiring is a big drag, because it isn't. I'm totally happy. One of the things that they cut out of the CNBC story was that I said that my heart is more open as I get older, as I am now. I'm 67. I'm more vulnerable. I care more and more deeply. And that affects everything I do. And it's a strange place to be, I think, for people to feel so much. And I think that that goes along with the stage of life we're in. In Hinduism, there's four stages of life. And first, you're a child and you're just having fun. Then you're a young person and you get married. And then you have your family and your career. And then the last stage of life is retirement. But retirement in that philosophy doesn't just mean you retire from your job. It means you retire from all the confusing material trappings that we have in this world. All the consumerism, having a new car every year, having the latest fashions, having the newest iPhone. All of that stuff, there's a point in life where it behooves you to step away from those things and go inward. So a few months ago, I had a really unexpected heart issue. I surf, I exercise, I've been a vegetarian for many, many, many years. I don't smoke or, you know, have a glass of wine once in a while. I don't eat processed food. I don't drink soda. I don't do any of the things that they say are bad for your heart. And all of a sudden, I had heart issues. One of my arteries was 90% blocked. One was 99% blocked. And I had no idea. I just had a little pain in my chest sometimes. So they put in stents and now I'm fine. But that is another part of retiring, is that retiring and aging kind of go hand in hand, unless you're one of these people that retire at 45, right?
Right.
So retiring and aging, and we might talk about retiring, but we don't want to talk about aging. And that, I think, is a really important piece, because, you know, there's all these jokes about how you want to spend your money before you give it to your kids, or, you know, you want to use it up. You want to, yep. But it's true.
Bounce your last check, we hear people say, right?
Yes.
I want to bounce my last check.
It's really true, because you don't know what's going on. I mean, maybe some people get full body scans every year and do things like that. But I look at my situation where I had no idea that my arteries were being blocked, that they were blocking. You know, I had no idea I had this super high cholesterol because of hereditary genetic stuff. No idea. So now it really is that you talk about being happy. I have a meditation every morning, and it's about being happy and healthy.
Yeah.
Simple. Guides my decisions. Is this going to make me happy? Is this good for my health? And I end up being healthy and happy. I mean,
yeah, you kind of will it into existence. And you talk in your writing about finding a sense of calm as you've worked through this transition. There was very much a realization, right, that this wasn't the end point, right? It was a transition to a new stage, right? Yeah.
And it was all okay. All the confusion, all the unknowns, all the change and the changes, all of that was okay.
And that you have found satisfaction in simplicity. I think that's a big lesson that I took from what you've written about, which is you've had time to look back and assess things that could be regrets and other things, but you found balance in them with other moments of joy.
Oh, I'm so glad that you got that from what I wrote, because that is how I feel. It is a balance. Yeah.
We can all look back in life, right, Janet, and say, I wish I'd done this differently, or this could have played out differently, or this or other things, right? But you've found that balance by, you talk about the joy of the births of your children and grandchildren and surfing, and there's barriers that you face living abroad, right? That there's language barriers, cultural barriers, but it's the little things, right? And I'd be remiss if I didn't at least talk to you a little bit about some of the practical challenges that you face while living abroad, right? And I know our listeners are probably thinking, hey, that sounds great. Janet's figured it all out, but it couldn't have been that easy, right? I mean, she's in a different country with different food and culture. And would you be willing to share with us, Janet, a little bit about how you tackled some of those challenges and what they were for the folks that are listening saying, you know what, Janet seems to have got this thing figured out. How do I do that? How do I go live on the beach in Mexico and stretch my money and really enjoy a quiet morning with coffee instead of the hustle
really
and bustle of
it
America?
It doesn't cost $7 a cup.
I bet.
Yeah. I think that the biggest question people have about living in Mexico is safety. It's so frightening everywhere, and the cartel is everywhere, and they're out to get you. And that is just not the case. I am more nervous, if not scared, when I go visit my kids and grandkids because of the random shootings up there and the gun violence. And Americans don't like to hear that. They don't like to turn the mirror on themselves. But what I usually say to people is that millions and millions and millions of regular people live happily, safely, and peacefully in Mexico. The cartel is a big multinational, multi-billion-dollar business, and they don't care what we do. If you're not messing around with their business, they don't care. I won't walk by myself at 11 o'clock at night where I live. Mazatlan is a big city, 650,000 people.
Like anything, you have to make good, reasonable decisions about your safety, no matter where you are, right? Traveling, yeah. Anything, at home, right? So I think that's a really important point to underscore. There are risks anywhere you go.
Yes. And I tell people, do your due diligence, do your research, look outside the main media, look at the expat Facebook groups. So there are many, many, many expat Facebook groups in any city you would be interested in living in Mexico or in Europe. You're going to find expat Facebook groups where you can chat with and ask questions of people who are on the ground to get the answers you need. There's definitely a culture shock. I laugh about it now. I took what I thought were really intensive Spanish classes for a year before I moved. And I thought, I've got this. I can communicate. I know what I'm doing. And I got down here and I was lost. It was so embarrassing. And, you know, after 15 years, I can hold my own. I can have a conversation. I will never be fluent, but I can comprehend and I can speak. And it just makes you humble. There's no other way to put it. In the book, I have an essay in my book. I say, I'm the 60-something-year-old woman who's talking like a toddler, who can't put verbs and nouns together in the proper way. It's so humbling. And it's funny. It's just funny. So you learn.
Yeah. But you got through, right? And it didn't prevent you from living life.
I'm getting through. You know, every day I think, oh my goodness, what did I just say?
I've been doing this long enough. Yeah, what did they think I said? Yeah.
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 So it's just fun. I don't know. It's fun. I think it's also easier to live simpler here. And I don't know if that's because, like many expats, I don't watch local TV or listen to the radio. Once in a while, I'll read a local paper, but I'm not barraged with ads of things on sale. And plus, there's not as many things available to buy that I would want. There's no Trader Joe's, there's no Target. So you can live simpler because you don't have those options. And you develop a simpler life.
Yeah. And the other concerns people probably raise, I would imagine, are around healthcare and other things, right? You found it to be more than sufficient for what you need.
I suggest to people, because people ask me about that too. I get hundreds of messages a week from people who've read stories I'm writing or they bought the book from Amazon. I get hundreds of messages a week. And of course, people ask the same things. You know, how do I start? What do I do? And healthcare, what about healthcare? And what I always say to them is that do your research. Find a city you're interested in, and then research what healthcare is available there. Here in Mazatlan, there's 5 big, modern, well-equipped hospitals where there's doctors and technicians that speak English because there's such a big expat community here. Puerto Vallarta is the same way. Mexico City is the same way. Guadalajara is the same way. In Baja, pretty much any big city in the Baja that you go to, it's the same thing. The internet is full of valuable information and you just have to look for it. Make your list. And I did this before I moved here. I had a list of things to explore to see if I could live outside of the country. What is the medical care like? What is the shopping like? Can a foreigner start a business? And you do your research and find the answers to those things. Now, since I moved, a lot of things have changed. For instance, I think it was 3 years ago, Amazon Mexico started. So, you know, we can order all kinds of things that before were not available. And you might think that shopping doesn't matter, but in reality, you do. When you get outside your comfort zone, all you want is those ranch style Doritos that you can't find anywhere.
Now, like everywhere else, you can get Amazon to probably deliver it to your doorstep.
Yes.
And that's got to be reassuring, I hope, to some of the people listening to say, well, I think I could enjoy this maybe if I had some of the creature comforts I've become accustomed to.
Right. It seems silly, but those things do matter. It is creature comforts. You're right. That's a good phrase.
Yeah. And so, again, I think the telling lesson is if you are considering this, whether it's Mexico or other places, you've got some really great practical advice there. Do your research. Talk to people who have actually done it. There's groups to do that. And explore the things that are really important, right? The medical care, what's the culture like? What's my access to shopping? What's my travel limitations? Can I do certain things that are important to me? And if you can, would you offer it's a good idea to maybe spend a little time there, maybe take a longer vacation and,
yes,
and try it out and see if you like it before you make the move?
That's what I tell. Visit a couple times if you can, although I visited once and I was like, okay, I'm doing this no matter what. But visit a couple times or at least once if you can. And staying in like an Airbnb will give you a more real experience than staying in a hotel.
Another great piece of advice. Now, Janet, you've lived it, you've experienced it, you've taken your own path to get there. And I would love to get your thoughts around what the best advice you would give to our listeners for having a happy retirement.
I would say to trust yourself and be gentle with yourself. And know that it's a process, it's a transition. It's not something that's going to happen overnight, that your new life will be created, because it is indeed a new life. And it's in you. It's going to come out, it's going to form itself. And all of a sudden you'll wake up one day and you'll be happy with that new life and that new you.
That's just tremendous advice. And I think that as folks go through this, having people and the advice of people like you and some of your works and other colleagues of yours around how to make this transition successful can really help the process too. Janet Blazer, author and expat, thank you so much for joining us today to have this conversation.
Thanks, John. It's been my pleasure to be here.
Thrilled to have Janet join us, and I would highly encourage you to check out her book, Why We Left, an anthology of American women expats. It's not just her story. It's this words of wisdom from 27 women from all across the U.S. who moved to all different parts of Mexico and how they made their way there, and great inspiring words straight from the heart, talking through their hardships and challenges and how they ended up finding joy in their new life. Really compelling stories. So that's Why We Left, an anthology of American women expats. You can get it right great on Amazon. They don't just deliver Doritos to small Mexican towns. They can give you a great book too. And I think Janet shared some really important lessons. And it's one that I said in the beginning, we talk about on this program all the time, which is retirement is truly a transition. And that's why it's so critical that you work with a partner or a team that not only addresses the financial part of it, but talks about that emotional toll, right? Really takes the time in the planning process to understand you, your family, your priorities, the things that make you tick, where you're going to find your joy, and helps keep you on track along that path, along that journey, and reminds you that the way you're feeling is okay and that we can get there in the end. So if you have questions, if you're thinking about what to do next, if you're considering some of these decisions, we're here to help. You can call us anytime at 855-558-3500. That's 855-558-3500. Or email us at asksteve@cfnplan.com. That's asksteve@cfnplan.com. I'm John Walker, Regional Vice President at Mercer Advisors. Thanks so much for listening to the Your Life, Your Wealth podcast. Have a great week.
If you're interested in learning more about applying the principles we discuss to your personal financial circumstances, please visit Cordasco Financial Network at cfnplan.com.